Today on The Journey.
Your tongue and my tongue communicate what is hidden in our heart. And because the tongue communicates the heart, it naturally follows that the tongue is the best barometer of spiritual maturity.
What's the best way to keep a weather eye on your spiritual climate? Well, that's Ron Moore's focus in this half hour. Through his counsel, you'll learn how to control your internal climate and enjoy sunny days of spiritual maturity. Also, after the message, I'll let you know about Ron's challenging publication called Faith, Dead or Alive. It offers a vital examination of genuine faith. Faith, Dead or Alive is available as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with part two of a series titled, Words, the Spiritual Barometer, on the Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of James in the New Testament. We've been working our way through this no-nonsense, hard-hitting book of James. We've come to chapter 3 and we're dealing with the subject of the tongue. We saw from the first two verses of chapter 3 that tongues are not just arbitrary sounds that involuntarily escape our mouths, but your tongue and my tongue communicate what is hidden in our heart. And because the tongue communicates the heart, it naturally follows that the tongue is the best barometer of spiritual maturity. Let's look today at James chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 3. And the first thing that James tells us is this. The tongue has the power to direct. Gives direction to our life. Look at verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey, we can turn the whole animal. Now you take the biggest guy in the church, guy who can lift 500 pounds, and you say, I want you to control that horse. He can't even make the horse snort. But you take a little 90-pound, 12-year-old girl and put her on the back of that horse, and with this bit, she can make the horse dance. She can control the horse. The bit controls this large animal, 5 feet, 6 feet tall, 2,000 pounds, by a little bit. Look at verse 4. Take ships, for example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants the ship to go. Roman ships, when James was writing this, were over 180 feet long, 60 yards long, 45 feet wide. They were huge. James says they were driven by strong winds, and he uses a word here that means austere or severe winds to fill the sail. But that big ship, driven by austere winds, is controlled by what? A little rudder. And the pilot of the boat changes that rudder to take it wherever he wants it to go. And just like that bit controls the horse and the rudder controls the ship, so the tongue directs and controls the person. Proverbs says that your tongue characterizes you as a person who is full of wisdom, knowledge, discernment, or will characterize you as a fool, full of vulgarity, sharp tongue, untruthfulness. The tongue verbally reveals what's in your heart. The tongue verbally reveals what path you are on. A path of spiritual maturity or immaturity. Whether you are a person whose speech is seasoned with grace or peppered with gossip. Whether you are a person who builds up or tears down. A little tongue will tell you what direction you're headed in. Whether or not you can control it will determine whether or not you can control the direction of your life. Not only does the tongue give direction, but secondly, the tongue has the power, James says, to destroy. Look at verse 5. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Forest has several enemies, insects, diseases, but the biggest enemy of the forest is the fire, and that's because it can do tremendous damage in such a short period of time. Every year in the United States alone, 3 million acres of timber are destroyed by fire. And so the tongue can destroy your life and those around you. Look at verse 6. The tongue is also a fire. It is an instrument that can do a lot of damage in a short period of time. It is a world of evil among the parts of the body. The word world here is the Greek word cosmos. It means sum or the totality of your life. A world of evil among the parts of the body. Your whole life, all of you can be seen as evil just by this little thing called the tongue. Sets the whole course of his life on fire. Whole course here is literally the word wheel. And James is telling us that all our life is like a circle. It's the course of our life. It goes round and round. And all of our life, the whole wheel of our life, can be set on fire by the tongue. And the tongue itself is set on fire by hell. Pretty strong language, isn't it? The tongue is the fuse, and the source of the destroying fire is Satan himself. And he wants nothing more than for you and me to destroy ourselves and to destroy those around us by our tongue. He wants nothing more than our children to be devastated by things we say, so that they will grow up and say, if that's what the Christian faith is about, I'm really not interested. He wants nothing more for us to be characterized by those who are slanderers, by those who are gossips, by those who don't tell the truth, so that when we get around to sharing the gospel, no one's going to listen. And if they listen, they're going to say, if that's what it does to their life, why bother? Satan wants us to use our tongue for him, not for God. Look at verses 7 and 8. James moves from the forest to animals. He says all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless, evil, full of deadly poison. What do you think about when you think of an animal that's full of deadly poison? What about you? I think about a snake. And I did a little research this week and found out there are two types of poisonous snakes. One type of poisonous snake is called a viper, and that's a rattlesnake or a copperhead. A water moccasin is another one. And a viper is able to hit, penetrate, and venom shoots out, and then it releases and slithers away. As soon as you're hit, you know you have been bit. Pain comes immediately. It swells, turns purple. You become pale, weak, and nauseated. This is a rattle from a rattlesnake. You hear that? When we were growing up, we used to go out into the pasture and hear this sound and grab the rattlesnakes by the tail and whirl them around in the air and then pop their heads. Just kidding. No, we never. We never did that. I've heard it done, but I've never seen anyone do it. If you and I were walking out in some pasture and we heard this sound, you turned around and said, I wonder what that was. I would not be around to answer the question. I'd be long gone. Just like a viper, some people have a sharp tongue. And they hit and they move away. And you are left sometimes literally nauseated and pale. And you wonder, where did that come from? Viper, sharp, venom, and gone. There's another type of poisonous snake. It's called an elapid. And these are mambas, cobras. They have fangs, but they hit and they hang on because the poison doesn't immediately come. They literally have to chew the venom into the person. his victim. And then they let go, and you say, well, I feel pretty good. But then, after a while, it starts affecting your breathing organs, and you just get sleepy. Some people use words like that, don't they? Premeditated. Man, they hit and hang on. Like the gossiper. They're going to hit and hang on. Like the slanderer. One time's not going to do it. They're going to hit and hang on. Like a premeditated session with someone where you know you're going to say some stuff that are going to be hurtful. And you want to say some stuff that are going to be hurtful. You're going to hit and hang on because you want to make sure the venom penetrates. You want to make sure you can chew it in. How about your tongue? Is it full of deadly poison? You take your quick shots and then slither away? Or do you like to stay and chew for a while and make sure that the hurt is burrowed down deep into the heart of your victim? Tongue has a power to destroy. James says, destroys your relationship with Christ. If you're a believer, you can never lose your relationship with Christ, but you can certainly lose the testimony of your relationship. Destroys your character. Can destroy your career, your reputation. Destroy you as a husband, you as a father, you as a friend. Who wants a friend whose tongue is likened to fire and fangs? Who wants a father whose tongue hurts? Who wants a mother whose words devastate? It ruins, it destroys the relationships in your life. It destroys you. The tongue has power to destroy. James has one more thing to tell us here in verses 9 through 12. He says, what flows from our mouth is the best indicator of our spiritual condition. What flows from our mouth is the best indicator of where we are spiritually. Look at verses 9 and 10. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praising and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. So here we are in a congregation or in our personal time of worship, and our tongue is forming beautiful words that praise God. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul rejoice. Take heed, my King, in what you hear. Let this be a sweet sound in your ear. And we form those words, and then we go out and we curse quick shots the very people God has created in his likeness. And James says, he looks each one of us in the eye and says, that should not be. And here's why he says it shouldn't be. Look at verse 11. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? The word he uses for fresh water is a word that means sweet or delightful. The word he uses for salt water is a word that means bitter or pungent or sharp. And he says, can both salt water and bitter water and fresh water, delightful water, sweet water flow from the same spring? The answer is no, can't. Look at verse 12. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives? Can a grapevine bear figs? No. Neither, then, can a salt spring produce fresh water. So James has taken us from the forest, horses, ships, and now to a spring. And he says, in this crevice under the earth, here's this spring, and through gravity and the channels under the earth, this water is pushed to the opening. And what comes out of the opening is dependent on what is in the source. And so here's this cavity of our heart and this opening in our mouth. And whatever comes from our mouth is the best indicator of what's in our heart. So if bitter words are pouring out, we can just assume we have some bitterness in our heart. If sweet words are pouring out, we can assume the source is a sweet spring formed by God himself. Where do you think James might have heard these words? Well, certainly they're inspired by God. But where else could he have heard these? Well, he heard them from his brother, Jesus Christ. Maybe he heard some of these when he was growing up, working with Jesus in the carpentry shop, maybe when they were older. Or maybe James went out to hear Jesus teach. But listen to what Jesus says regarding this in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees who look so good on the outside, but he said, inside, you're full of dead man's bones. The source is dead men's bones. You're a hypocrite. And then Jesus says this in verse 33, chapter 12. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they've spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. Do words matter? Do words carry weight? Do words really have, as the Proverbs say, the power of life and death? You're going to have to give an account, Jesus said, on the day of judgment for every careless word spoken. It's pretty weighty, isn't it? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The tongue is the best indicator of your spiritual condition. Three applications. Number one, submit your tongue to the control of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 18 say this. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. We've considered this verse several times. Paul is saying, don't be controlled by wine. Don't be controlled by an outward substance. Don't be controlled by an outward circumstance. Don't be controlled by an outward event that you can't handle. Instead, allow the Holy Spirit to control your heart. And the tense of the word there means that this is not a one-time only prayer. This is a prayer we pray over and over and over again. In the morning, Father, I don't know who I'm going to talk to today. I don't know the opportunities you're going to give me. I don't know the situations you're going to put me in, but please control what I say. Second application. Pray that God will continually remind you of the weight of your words. Turn with me to Psalm 39, a prayer of David. We don't know the exact situation that David is in, but it's certainly a difficult situation. Verse 1 of Psalm 39, he said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle over my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. Hear what he's saying? I'm not going to blow my testimony in front of the wicked. When I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. You ever had that experience? It's churning in your heart. Look at verse 3. My heart grew hot within me. And as I meditated, the fire burned. The more I thought about the situation, the angrier I got. The more the fire burned. But I'm in the presence of the wicked. I don't want to say anything foolish. That's why I want to muzzle my mouth, David said. I am burning up inside. Left to myself, I'm going to say something that's going to hurt. It may be like a viper shot and gone, or I may hang on for a while. So, Lord, Help me not to do this. Help me not to be the scorn of fools. Help me not to be one of them. Show me the weight of words and keep that before my heart and my mind. One more thing. Help others squelch the fire of inappropriate words. Gossip only spreads if you spread it. And you can shut it down. You can say, I don't want to hear that. I'm not going to talk about that person. Proverbs 26, 20 and 21 says this, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. So you and I have a responsibility not to put wood on the fire. You and I have the responsibility to say, not going to go any farther. I love you too much for you to hurt yourself like that. We can help squelch the fiery words of others. So what are we going to do with what we've learned? Are you going to walk out of here and continually hurt and maim and kill people with your tongue? What are you going to do? James says, if you listen to God's word and you don't do anything with it, you're very foolish. He says, if you listen and don't act on it, you're like a person, remember, who looks in a mirror, sees what they look like, and then go away, not do anything about it. If you look at God's word and you see what you need to do but refuse to do it, it's as good as not hearing it at all. What are you going to do with the word of God?
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. How do you know when your faith, or that of a friend or loved one, is a living faith? Is it proved by a walk down a church aisle, praying a salvation prayer, or attending catechism classes? Or is there other evidence that must be displayed? That question is asked and answered in Ron Moore's PDF booklet titled, Faith, Dead or Alive. In Faith, Dead or Alive, Ron outlines the characteristics of genuine belief and how you can perceive their presence animating your life. It's the most important waypoint on the spiritual journey. Faith, Dead or Alive, is yours as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
What is wisdom? And to help us answer that question, turn back to the book of Proverbs, first chapter, first verses. This is written by Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And he's writing this, look at verse 2, for attaining wisdom. The reason he writes this wisdom literature is so that we will be wise. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Let's go back through that and look at some descriptors. What is wisdom? In verse 2, he says, discipline and understanding are words that go right along with wisdom. Living a life that is self-controlled, understanding, insight, being able to see below the surface, insight into things of life.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your copy of Ron Moore's PDF booklet, Faith, Dead or Alive. It's a vital checkup on your spiritual health. Faith, Dead or Alive, is available for a donation of any amount. You can get it online at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we want to invite Pittsburgh area parents and youth leaders to join us at the Bible Chapel on Saturday, March 21st from 9 a.m. to noon. We'll dive into the heart of parenting and what it looks like to raise a generation driven by technology and social media. It's the Bible Chapel's first relevant parenting conference titled Together, Raising a Social Media Generation. In addition to the ins and outs of social media, you'll learn from FBI agents who are experts in cyber threats. You'll hear from parent and student panels about their personal experiences in raising a social media and tech generation. You'll also walk away with a packet of free resources and an opportunity to engage in ongoing, relevant parenting small groups. Walk-ups will be accepted, but you must pre-register to ensure your packet of free resources and childcare. Childcare will be provided for infants through 10 years old. Pre-registration closes March 14th. Visit BibleChapel.org to register. That's BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.